But I'm just saying, like, at the end of the day, you know, it's the end of the day. And we're all the same.
At the end of the day. That's exactly right, actually.
This episode of Dear Jessamine has profanity, sex talk, weed smoking, and a bunch of other shit that's just not for everybody. You also may not agree with the stuff we say or how we say it, and we think that's great. We promote cannabis medicine to people over 21. If you're not 21, come back when you are.
What I want to do to myself is selfish in the best way. My favorite headspace.
Okay, do you want to answer this dear query?
Sure.
The question is, my boyfriend T, cisgender, and I, AFAB non-binary, have been living together for a couple years. T and I have discussed being somewhat polyamorous since the start of the relationship. Due to my disabilities, I'm mostly homebound, and the idea of having a polyamorous relationship is appealing but doesn't seem practical for me because I spend almost all of my time at home with my partner, who is also a homebody. T is not interested in having metamours. He is strictly interested in having three-way relationships with others. The type of person who could join us in bed and sleep over to cuddle and watch movies. To be honest, I'm not sure if that kind of thing exists, but if it doesn't, I believe there may be a way to carve it out for us anyways. We are both bisexual and trans-affirming, but he doesn't want us to get involved with anyone who identifies as a man. He's only interested in women and non-men. Although I am also bisexual, I share the desire to meet potential partners that are not men. Even though our preferences align in this way, it makes me weary that he doesn't want any men involved. It feels like a display of ownership. I just imagine that he'd love to have other men, but that he would view me as tainted if I was involved. This is not something he's indicated, but the idea of having performative threesomes for his male gaze is a big fear of mine, and it's the opposite of what I want. The reason that I want to have relationships with women and non-men is that I want to exchange an abundance of acceptance and adoration for someone who knows what it's like to feel the scrutiny of the male gaze, but rise above it. I want T to see me in this mutually empowering relationship and for him to be inspired by it. Does T have a responsibility to dispel my concerns that he is interested in threesomes/relationships with women for misogynistic reasons? Do I owe it to T or myself to try to foster a relationship with him that feels as radically accepting as the one that I've been fantasizing about having with a woman? I want to make sure that our relationship expansion is based on making things better for everyone involved rather than using it as a distraction or unhealthy coping mechanism. Well, the first thing that I thought was interesting was that they said that they had thought about being somewhat poly. They said that their partner and they have been discussing being somewhat polyamorous since the start of the relationship. And I thought that the whole concept of somewhat poly seems like trouble. That it's usually all or nothing, I would think. And I'm curious what your thoughts are about that.
I think that it's probably like the way I read it was a little bit different, that it's like they've essentially that they've talked a little bit about it, but not that they've talked about being a little bit poly. I could be wrong. Like being some, and I know it says we've discussed being somewhat polyamorous, but I kind of feel like it's like we've somewhat discussed being poly. You know what I mean? But I feel you. I think that people think that you can be a little bit poly, like that you can sort of flirt online, but you're not actually developing relationships. Or you could have a really close friendship with somebody where like y'all do sexual things, but you're not actually in a relationship with them. I think that's somewhat poly. I don't think that that actually ends up working. I think you're in a relationship or you're not. You know what I mean?
I think that your reading of it is probably right, that they've like discussed it a little bit, but not talked about it that much. And so she's like, or they're like, some were somewhat poly, but like, or we've discussed it somewhat. But I also think that a lot of people say, like, it's like you could just like sprinkle it on top a little bit. You should be like, well, we're poly in these situations, or like, we're poly on this night of the week, or like,
or only with these
relationship
kinds of
people. Yeah, these kinds of people. But I feel like it's got to be a full commitment to radical honesty and acceptance in all of the relationships. Otherwise, it's just going to be messy. And obviously, as evidenced by this show and our relationship, it could be messy regardless. So,
well, radical honesty, I think that sometimes when dishonesty creeps in, it gets messy. So I think being somewhat polyamorous, and I think also just like the, you'll go on to say though, I feel like you have a couple good questions in there. Comments, I guess, to the question.
Well, what were you about to say?
Yeah, that the radical honesty is the only option. And that when it's lacking or missing the mark, that's when it gets messy. Mm-hmm. For us too, you know?
Mm-hmm. I hear you about dishonesty being the thing that creeps in. And I agree. I mean, not to make this about us, but I agree that even in our situation, that it is the introduction of someone who is being dishonest has created discord in our relationship. I think that is true.
Yeah. I appreciate you saying that.
The second thing that I wrote down about this question is that I don't think polyamory has anything to do with mobility. You can be poly and be at home on the couch at the same time. Like, this person said that they're not sure if polyamory is practical because they spend all their time at home with their partner who is also a homebody. I feel like you can be in relationships with people that you never even physically see, but that do offer a lot of, that add abundance to your relationship with your nesting partner. So I don't feel like I don't think it's impractical at all.
I think that I agree 100% that they go on in this paragraph to talk about, due to my disabilities, I'm mostly homebound, and the idea of a poly relationship is appealing but doesn't seem practical because you spend all your time at home. But then later they're like, you know, talking about wanting to have somebody who would come over and like cuddle and watch TV with them and do those things. That person, I just want to say that exists.
Definitely.
Prior to now, all of my polyamorous relationships that involved more than one person, like where I was dating somebody who was dating somebody else, for instance, I was coming into the situation as like a third person and felt really comfortable with that, like in my 20s and teens. It was like my preferred situation. I think a huge part of that is people who aren't, it's like renting a house. You know what I mean? It's like if you're not ready to buy, I feel like there are ways to get a lot of relationship needs met where you're involved with somebody who has their emotional needs and other kinds of relational needs getting met elsewhere. And you don't have to be the sole provider of that. And I think that was a huge part of my poly, just like in the beginning, was I had so much work to do on myself, a lot of healing work that I wanted to do. And I was kind of instinctually fighting this natural inclination to be really codependent. And so my first adult relationship, even though I wasn't quite an adult yet, was with a woman who was married to a man. And so I wasn't dating him, but I was having the experience of somebody who had somebody to pay bills with and they had kids together. I didn't want that. I wasn't doing that. Even though I was helping her take care of her kid, it was like a, I don't know. There are a lot of people who want specifically to be in relationships with people who have a nesting partner. So that definitely exists. I mean, also like thinking about Lindy West a lot lately, and she her partner just sort of had this internet coming out, I think, of like having another partner, and they're in a triad now, but it started evidently with like the guy dating this woman and whatever. That's my read. I haven't gone that deep in it, but I am thinking about the like famousy people who are talking about their poly now.
Mm-hmm. I always wonder about what's happening saying, the behind unicorn the curtain exists. In people's relationships,
even with those guys,
with everybody,
Will Smith and Jada.
Everybody.
I'm like, they're at least like, we know there's that, like they are open.
I just think it is always more complex than anyone could understand who is not in the relationship. And I think that the lens of monogamy makes it hard for us to see strangers clearly.
Because you're not allowed to talk about it?
No, because we don't understand the complexity of the relationships and the reasons why a person would be in a relationship with someone who is in a relationship with somebody else. And like, I just think it's very complex.
I just want to make sure to say that it exists. That was a thing. And definitely. I think too that everything exists. If you can think of it, it exists. And I hate to hear when people limit what they're going for based on this idea that it couldn't happen. It's like, it can only happen if you make it happen. Like, what if it never existed before and you're the first, you know? Mm-hmm. I just feel like, especially in relationships, if there's something you desire, which it sounds like you have a lot of desire for a relationship dynamic that is different than the one that you have with your partner right now, in addition, you know, and if you want it, you deserve it. If you want it, you can make it. You know, that's what being queer is all about, I think.
I agree.
What's your next one, babe?
My next note was that I think you are right to be weary about his apprehension and gender bias. It's like he thinks some relationships matter and that others don't. And I feel like this is a pretty common cystic thing to say about their partner, especially like their specifically really their AFAB partner being involved with anyone else, is that they're like, they're comfortable with other AFABs or people who don't identify as cishet men, but that as soon as a cishet man is involved, then they're like, this is a problem. And I think it has a lot to do with patriarchal values and like thinking that some people, it's misogyny. I think it's thinking that some people, that men matter and women don't. Mm-hmm. And I think it is definitely something to be concerned about. And mm-hmm. I think it's a bigger issue than just who he would be comfortable with y'all, like being in another partnership with, but also just like, is this the type of person that you're trying to be with? But this is coming from a lesbian. So I don't know if I'm the best metric for that.
As another lesbian, just to give that disclaimer. In the same way that like everything that I do say, think, feel, want is all coming from somebody who's raised with the lens of white supremacy, like men can't get away from being misogynists. I mean, it's there. We're all swimming in it. It's just the goo. It's just what we're in. It's like not somebody's fault, this idea of right and wrong and your fault, my fault. That's why I push back, just to bring it back to Ash and Jessamine land. So I push back on you sometimes when you're like, you blame me for all these things. I'm like, literally, I don't even believe in that. So if I come at you with some like, why is this happening? I know it sounds like blame. I will take this. I hear you and I'm working on the fact that what it sounds like is me saying, Jessamine, this is your fault. Mm-hmm. But I don't use that language because I don't believe in that. I will bring something to you and be like, hey, big problem. What are we doing about it? You know? Mm-hmm. And you're like, you're blaming me. And I'm like, no, it's our responsibility, you know?
But I think that you don't always hear the way that you sound to me. And I think that I often do not hear you, period.
I believe it.
You know? So like, I think that
couples counts.
I mean, I think that this question is helpful for me at least to see. I was thinking it's helpful for us, but I don't want to speak for you. But it's helpful for me to be able to see our situation more clearly.
Oh my God. Yeah. Hopefully we'll get into that more specifically, what you mean by that. But
well, okay. The next thing that I wrote is actually about the specific question that this person has asked. So I want to repeat the question if that works for you. Mm-hmm. Question is, does T have a responsibility to dispel my concerns that he is interested in threesome/relationships with women for misogynistic reasons? So this is the first part that I want to talk about. The whole paradigm of dispel my concerns implies that you are right and he is wrong. It doesn't leave space for the nuance of his identity. Like, I don't even want to really get into like whether or not he's a misogynist, mostly because I think we're all misogynists. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't really understand the question, but I also think that and then there's also a part of me that doesn't think it's his responsibility to explain himself to you. I feel like he is who he is, period. And like, you can like it or not, but like, that's what he's going to do. But just the whole thing of like, dispel my concerns feels like very, I don't know if you're a Capricorn, but it feels very like punitive and like, does it not to you? I'm curious.
I feel so differently. I think that's coming from I read it as you like things I ask of you sometimes that might be out. Things I ask of you like, hey, can you just reassure me? Like, can you just reassure me of this thing or that thing? Although this does, you're right. Now that I think about it, it does feel a little bit different. Like, he, if he, I don't think he could dispel your concerns that he's a misogynist. He is. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's the thing we accept about ourselves and each other is that he probably doesn't want a super butch person in there either, unless that's his kink. You know, I've been definitely asked to leave a space that a man was curating with a bunch of women because I was too masculine. I'll tell you the specifics because my ex would feel fine about it. I dated this girl who was trying to be like recruited into this harem. So many friends from my high school were, it's just like cute bisexual women this man wanted to impregnate. This was a run of the mill, like dude being weird power trip guy. And my ex was invited over and she was like, oh yeah, me and my girlfriend will come. And they said specifically, your girlfriend is too masculine for the type of energy that this guy is trying to cultivate in the space, which is just some more extreme version of, I think, what most men are saying when they want a threesome, but not with another cis dick. And it's like, I want to feel like I'm the most powerful person in the
room. They want to be the rooster in the hen house.
So like, I mean, that's just sort of what happens. Like, it's just a different degree of that whole thing. I would say, God.
Patriarchy is so boring, man. I'm like, we can have so much fun with all manner of power in the room. But patriarchy is like, there can only be one biggest dick. And I'm just like, literally everybody has a dick. You need to chill. It's just so fear-based. It's boring.
But also the concept of like size, like you said, everybody has a dick, and I would argue that it's just like society sees the size of it as really important.
Well, then there are some people who have dicks that were assigned male at birth who maybe should be considered differently,
and they get a lot of ridicule for it. I mean, people do a lot of like painful things to each other, especially so young men in a misogynistic culture. I just think you can't really get away from it, you know. And do I owe it to T or myself to try to foster a relationship with him that feels as radically accepting as the one I've been fantasizing about having with a woman? I feel like the radical acceptance is actually you to you. Mm. Everybody else just sort of gets it. They get to experience that of you. They get to love being around you because you are radically accepting of yourself and then therefore them. I think you owe it to yourself, yes, to try and foster a relationship with yourself that is as radically accepting as the one you've been fantasizing about having with a woman. You could have that with you, you know? And then he would just be, and you do this, Jessamine. I really only feel like I've learned this from watching you. You are so radically accepting of me that sometimes I feel like there's no boundary and I'm just floating in space. You know what I mean? Because the fact is you're on your own journey. You are accepting yourself. You're working on that. And then I'm like, well, but this, and you've already radically accepted the thing that I hate that I'm about to say that's like making me feel insecure or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I can only say this to this person who's written in because I'm watching you do it all the time. And it makes me really mad sometimes, partly because I feel jealous maybe of your acceptance and what it offers you, the spaciousness it offers you, and partly because it feels like different than the way I've ever been in a relationship before. And it forces me, I'm like left with nothing but to accept myself, which I'm not always ready to do. So I'll just say, dear caller, that it will change your relationships, all of them, when you start to accept yourself. Some for closer and some for farther, you know, but yeah, you owe it to yourself for sure to radically accept yourself, which includes, it looks like, at least figuring out how to have some kind of connection with a woman because it's in all the paragraphs.
Yeah, it sounds like you're really interested in that and that you should do that regardless of what's happening with him.
Yeah.
I did just want to say about the dispelling your concerns thing that his dispelling your concerns might end up just being him lying to make you happy. And I'm wondering if that's better than accepting his truth or accepting him for who he is, not who you want him to be.
And if that was better, it's just a thing to accept.
Yeah. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's just a question.
I feel like that Sheryl Crow. Is it Sheryl Crow?
Strong if it makes you.
No, I was thinking about, she says, lie to me. And I'll believe or whatever. I feel like some people want that, you know?
Yeah.
And if that's
what you're asking for, ultimately. If you set a hard line and you're like, you need to tell me if this is not what this is, and the person will be like, yeah, I'm going to tell you. It doesn't have to be true, but okay, sure.
You would have to be ready for any answer to ask a question like that.
That is true.
If you wanted the truth.
I also think, okay, so you talked about where we were just talking about how this person has been fantasizing about being with a woman, which, I mean, it's dope. So I feel you.
You should.
But you should definitely do it. You should absolutely fantasize about it and do it. But it does seem like there's a lot of daydreaming and fantasizing going on in general. And I just wanted to say that real life is never going to be like your fantasy. Mm. And that people who don't identify as cis men are just as full of shit as cis men.
That's
like,
true.
Just as much, sometimes worse.
And it comes different.
It's also why I think the Che Diaz storyline is so unrealistic on And Just Like That. We can talk about it later, but it's fine.
I just think that everybody's full of shit and people are socialized to be full of shit in different ways.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like everything that you're reading in Polysecure about attachment theory and like the ways that we treat each other based on how we were treated as children.
Yeah.
That is a gender-free situation. That's like right. Everybody has some shit like that.
But I will say the way we manifest things like anger in our behaviors. Often I have experienced that coming out really different with men and women. People who are socialized to be a man or socialized to be a woman. And, you know, I don't mean to say that in a way that's like not acceptable. Cause this is specifically what I mean is if you're trained this away or that away.
I guess I'm just saying that there are a lot of women who have gotten on my fucking nerves, including some who are in this room, and I don't feel like men should have to bear the weight of all that.
What do you mean? Oh, that it's just different. I'm saying, you know, the ways that I get on your nerves is like through like emotional manipulation, you know? You love to find men who like to emotionally manipulate, which I
love.
I think
being
is
emotionally manipulated.
Such an interesting gold star opportunity for you.
Your relationship with T is a great place to practice radical acceptance, especially if you're planning on doing it with anybody else. It's not gonna magically happen with your lesbian girlfriend. Like, y'all gonna be out here on the same bullshit that you and T are on.
Right.
It's gonna be so boring. What's up?
It'll probably not be boring. It'll probably roll spicy.
So spicy. Very interesting.
But I would say that just like you were just saying about being emotionally manipulated. Mm. I feel like you'll find some lesbian girlfriend who is ready to offer you similar lessons and yoga practices as T is. And so, I mean, don't get me wrong. She might eat your pussy better. So please
literally
give it a shot. But I'm just saying, like, at the end of the day, you know, it's the end of the day and we're all the same.
It's the end of the day. That's exactly right. Actually. So there was this other piece of the question that is, I want to make sure that our relationship expansion is based on making things better for everyone involved rather than using it as a distraction or unhealthy coping mechanism. So I feel like relationship expansion can look like a lot of things for a lot of different reasons. All at the same time. And I think what brings abundance might start from a fear of scarcity and vice versa.
Totally.
And I mean, I don't know. I think there's a lot of reasons.
And I feel like right now for me, the most lesson is coming from every single thing I think I'm completely incapable of doing. Like, there's no way to do this. This is impossible. This relationship is impossible. That person is impossible. All of that is bringing me the most lesson. Because then I'm like, okay, so what are you going to do about it? And there's nothing to do. Like, I'm not going to stop anything or end something or, you know what I mean? It's like, maybe this is just the lesson. When there's no answer to like what to do next, it's like, you have to sit in it. You have to feel this right now. I was watching some media recently. It could have been a TikTok. I was sick the last couple of days. So there was some in and out of sleep, TikTok, Netflix. Like, I have no idea what it was, but I do remember that it made me ponder for at least an hour on the question of what it is to really experience emotions without having a distraction or unhealthy coping mechanism. I don't know what it was. Two people having a relationship and one of them was like, I hate this. And the other person was like, you hate experiencing yourself. Why don't you try that? And then it's like, oh, that Alanis Morissette song where she's like, why are you so petrified of silence here? Can you handle this? And then she just cuts all the audio for like 4 seconds. And she says, did you think about your bills, your ex, your deadlines, or when you think you're going to die? Or did you long for the next distraction? Yeah, I feel like it's hard to sit with ourselves. It's hard to sit with the even if we do it, like I feel like a lot of people have long practices of meditation or they just do a lot of like reflecting, like sometimes it gives way to the fantasy of the like future and not the now, you know, sometimes it gives way to like, it maybe sometimes it's just being bored and it's not actually reflecting, which I think sometimes I do. I'm like, oh yeah, I was just like sitting in meditation. I was, yes and no. I mean, we're always sort of meditating, but also like there is this way to like experience thoughtful engagement, personal, quiet, thoughtful engagement with an issue, you know. And then there's a way to just like be on TikTok for a couple hours, which I've done the last couple days a lot. Good shit out there, though. Let me tell you. TikTok makes me laugh like nothing else.
What does it feel like when you are in the scroll?
Mm. Nothing. Completely numb. Mm. Why do you ask?
Well, because I said about this, one of my last note was that maybe y'all need a distraction.
Mm.
It sounds like you're up underneath each other a lot. It might be helpful to have new energy in the space to lighten your shared emotional load. And I feel when you're on TikTok or on Instagram or just like in a scroll,
mm-hmm.
it makes my initial reaction is anxiety because mm-hmm. I feel like when I'm in a deep scroll, trying to an escapist scroll,
yeah.
it feels like it's coming from a place of, I would like to escape what is happening in my life mm-hmm. right now. And that's what it feels like you're doing.
Mm.
And I just remind myself that it's not about me.
That's interesting. We've never talked about that before. I don't think. Not like this, at least.
I don't think we have.
It makes me want to ask so many questions.
Mm-hmm.
But, wow. Thanks for saying that. I'd just like mm-hmm. to know. I think I wanted to, part of this distraction thing, I should say, yes, it is that. I think we all, I mean, the pandemic is like a new level of homebodiness. So even if you were already a homebody, I feel like those of us who aren't homebodies have a new relationship to that concept, whether it's favorable or not, you know? And I think we've developed next level strategies of distracting and coping. As a result, you know, many of us at least. And I think those of us who are homebodies, like who are partnered with people who aren't, are like experiencing the non-homebody partner, like trapped, you know? So I know that's probably fucked with a lot of people's relationships. Definitely, it feels like it's fucked with ours to me. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't know the difference except that like, I know what a homebody you are and I remember how not at home of a person I have mostly been my whole life. So, although I'm making nicer homes, they're funner to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken or egg, who knows? But I think that we do need a distraction sometimes. I think that, you know, the flirting outside of my relationships with you and my girlfriend that I've done is definitely a distraction, 100%. In fact, I came to a new level of understanding that particular relationship and distraction. And I realized that I want to hook up with somebody outside of my relationships when I'm sad, specifically fearing like a loss or a grief
mm-hmm.
or experiencing grief and loss. It's like, I want to, honestly, I've said this to you and I don't know how this is going to sound to anybody else, but it feels like a physical manifestation of filling a hole or a void.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it just feels so natural. Like it makes so much sense that I would want to hook up with somebody if I was grieving, but it also feels like a distraction and an unhealthy coping mechanism. Like at the same time, all those things can be true.
Mm.
So I don't think that's like the worst thing. If like what you're going for in this life is like to learn lessons, I've had to orient myself. That's part of my radical honesty and self-acceptance is just like, I'm an Aries. I ram my head into things. Like, this is how I learn lessons. Sometimes it hurts. I really don't ever want to hurt anybody else. I know that's bound to happen, though. I want to get more skillful all the time. But, like, I'm here to learn lessons. So these things that happen that are uncomfortable, they're all lessons. And that's what I'm here for. So they're going to be uncomfortable. But that's my orientation and self-acceptance around that stuff. Like, I've stopped believing I'm going to have, like, light, sweet, tender lessons where people are just like, oh, Ash, let's try it this way. And I'm like, thanks. Like, it just is not how I always learn lessons. And accepting that is like, fuck. The skill becomes like, how do I learn about them quickly. How do I not hurt people in the process? Those kinds of things. But it's just how I learn lessons. So mm-hmm. have you a distraction? I don't try it. And then if it doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Like life's both long and short, you know?
Wow. I love so much everything that you just said. It's so honest and so real. And I think so much that most people would not admit to. And I just really appreciate your vulnerability and honesty. I think you're right. I feel you. And that has been, you remember whenever we first started, like whenever you started seeing your girlfriend, I was like, I'm actively trying not to just creep on somebody because I feel like mm-hmm. that has always been my way of orienting in the past. And I noticed it in my other partnerships that like, oh, so when I am needing attention, essentially, mm-hmm. I will just try to find it from someone else. And now I feel like in those spaces, I want to just try to give myself attention mm-hmm. or try to like do things with myself that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. And it has been a very, very, very recent thing, like literally since coming to California, really, that I have been opening more to this idea of maybe it's okay to just like also flirt with people too. That like, mm-hmm. especially if it's something where like they know what's good and you know what's good and no one is trying to make anything that it's not. Mm-hmm. And I can be more specific than that. Like that's why I've specifically been. The creeping that I've been doing has been on FetLife, where I feel like it is the most, people are most direct about what they're trying to do. Even on like her or like what I've seen on Tinder, it seems like it's in what, I mean, actually I think Grindr is also very direct as well. Right. But I feel like anywhere where like, it's like up in the air, what we might be doing here, that I'm not trying to do because it is, I think exactly what you are saying.
A distraction.
And a distraction.
Yeah, totally.
But it's not less of a distraction on FetLife at all. I feel like it's still a distraction. Totally. But I think that it's not a bad thing to want to be distracted.
There's so much I'm trying to figure out. To learn from it. There's so much to yield. Also, like when you're being distracted, you invariably, if you're going to ever spend your time connecting with another human being, whether it's shallow or deep or any of that, you're going to learn some stuff about yourself. That's the whole point, I think, of connecting with other people.
I do too.
Is really them learning about themselves, you learning about yourself. And I feel like that's the whole idea. I think sometimes you need a distraction. I do want to get to this last thing that this person talks about, which is you said, I want to make sure that our relationship expansion is based on making things better for everyone involved rather than using it as a distraction. I wanted that too. Really, really bad. I feel like I was pushing that in a way that an Aries would. Like, you guys, no, listen, you guys, let's all hang out. Let's all go out of town together. Let's have Christmas together. It's good. No, just trust me. It's going to be good for everybody. Y'all are going to be friends. The pattern already said so. Like, you know what I mean? And like, time and again, bad shit would happen. Not bad shit. I shouldn't say like that. Oh, wow. You can tell I feel about it though. Time and again, things would happen that would give us all a lot of information about what I gleaned for me was that I was pushing too hard on a relationship and a forced intimacy between you and my girlfriend. And the fact that you were open to it at all is very different than mainstream culture. But I know that you want a radical life and love. And so I was going on that, but it doesn't, just because you want that, just because radical honesty exists, doesn't mean that we're ready for that in the time frame that I was talking about, or that would make me feel better, honestly, about like choosing this, you know, even though it makes for more difficult conversations, you know, it tests our skills and forces us to grow new ones in ways that are uncomfortable. Like, I have taken a step back from trying to like push on that because it has just not been better for everyone involved. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I think that it doesn't have to be better for everyone involved. Like, what is better? You know what I mean? Like better, yeah. Like more lessons. Jessamine, do you know more about yourself and our relationship since I started dating this other person?
Definitely.
Is that better? I mean, who knows? Maybe you didn't want to know those things.
I think that the whole concept of making things better for everyone involved is, it's a hard one. It makes it like, you know better, or you know best, somebody knows best. Or that, I mean, I think that like, there's things that are supposed to hurt.
Yeah.
Like, it maybe T is supposed to be emotionally hurt by you being involved with a cishet man. Maybe he's supposed to feel that. Because first of all, misogyny, misogyny is not going to be broken without being pushed up against with some shit like this. Mm-hmm. Maybe he needs that.
Yeah.
And you can't make it better by like trying to pick somebody who he's going to have an issue with, whoever the person is. I do really appreciate you bringing up this idea of like things that would be making things better for everyone involved. Because frankly, to speak to our situation, yeah. When you started dating your girlfriend, initially it was extremely difficult for me. And I would say that frequently still it is difficult for me.
You say frequently still because it's never, yeah. You're not over. It just keeps
kind of yeah, it's just different
it's just
phases.
Moves. It's, yes.
But I remember there being a part where it was particularly difficult in the beginning. And I needed for that to be difficult. Mm-hmm. Like I did not like it at the time. But even at the time, I think I knew that I needed that. And it's not because it made me feel good. It's because it made me feel bad and actually experiencing why it made me feel bad. And part of it making me feel bad was trying to understand, like, what am I feeling like I'm losing from you being with this other person?
Mm-hmm.
Like actually doing, like having that inquiry and thinking like, I mean, and this is what comes up for me. It's like, so I think that I'm losing something by you being with somebody else now. There's loss in our relationship.
Mm, oh my God.
So then it's like, why am I feeling loss? Is it because I am trying to control you? And now I see that someone else gets to have you, gets to control you. Is that what I'm doing? I want to be controlling you. Mm. It's like all of this shit that can't even be instigated without the person coming into play. So that, first of all, then second of all, there's this piece of like, so this person actually makes my partner happier. This is like they're so I see that the girlfriend comes in and she is offering things that I literally cannot offer. And I appreciate that our relationship has so many boundaries and complexities created by our work relationship that like cannot be avoided. That our work dynamic makes some parts of our romantic relationship really difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing all of those things together and then seeing how on the days when I can't be your girlfriend, like I cannot exist in that
boss.
Space because not even your boss, because I am your colleague, because I am your creative partner, I cannot get into that space of softness is really hard for me. And actually, you know what? No, you're right. It is the boss part of it too. And that's why that piece of it, I'm so ready to release.
Because when we're collaborating, when we're actually collaborators and you're not, it's not like a project that you have to oversee other people overseeing me doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we actually do a great job of finding softness with each other. Yeah.
Yeah. It is the boss part. But so when I see that, and then I see this person who can be soft with you, who can give you the love and adoration that you deserve and that I want for you to have, I'm grateful. I'm like, thank you, God. It's literally like the closest thing, and I hate that this is, well, you know, I don't have to hate it, but it is what it is. The closest comparison that I can think of is a co-parent where it's like, I see, oh my God, like there's somebody here who loves this person as much as I do, who also wants for them to be well, and who is doing it in a way that I literally cannot right now. Can you please step in? Thank you, God. Like, yes, I will go to Christmas at your house. Yes, I will spend time with you because it makes my girlfriend happy. Please, I would love to. Like, it opens all this space for me to like, think of what you need and what you. And that has nothing to do with your self-reflection or why you're in it or anything related to that. But I feel like it's an opportunity for me to actually love you, to actually care for you. and to not make it about me.
Dang, it makes me wonder how many, because like I had two Christmases that I had to go to, and I say it that way because it was really emotionally stressful, even though there were lots of presents. That didn't matter. I don't remember those. I remember how hard it was. But I wonder if there is if there are parents. I know this. Now I'm just saying this is probably true. I'm sure parents don't ever tell their kid how grateful they are that their co-parent is the person who takes them to soccer practice or whatever because they can't.
Yes, literally.
How grateful they are that their co-parent loves trains because they can't fucking stand it or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
literally.
The kid never receives the benefit of like, no, it's good that we're doing this way. Like it works for me so well. That's why there's that person there for you. That's why the other house is there. Because I feel like what I remember as a kid and what I experience now, I do feel very exposed at this comparison, totally. Honestly. Like, I feel like I know I have, like, issue, you know, a hard childhood. I know that people sometimes play out dynamics from childhood and they're, like, grown life.
I'm certainly playing out my family dynamic as an adult.
I do love that the beginning of Polysecure talks about the direct comparison and correlation between parent-child relationships and dynamics to, like, adult romantic relationships and dynamics. But anyway, let's exist in that gray area and just be totally fine with it for a sec. I feel like as a kid, and even now, I was just talking this morning about, fuck, can you bleep that? My bad. About how the transition between spending time with her at her house and coming back home is such a struggle for me. And I know it has everything to do with what a struggle it was to transition from my mom's house to my grandmother's house once a week. For dinner and then a sleepover, and then we'd go to school the next day.
You're not alone in that experience.
So I have big emotions right now, but also like a lot of, it's a struggle to go back and forth. Like that stuff comes up. I just want to bring it back to here maybe so it's less vulnerable. But yeah, like I do experience that is a similar struggle as when I was a kid. Of like, now I have to change who I am to be the kid that lives at this house, the kid that follows these rules, the kid that does cry or doesn't cry, you know, the kid that is my dynamics with my siblings, even like the kid that is helpful around the house versus the kid that's like, my dad called me the pokey little puppy because he didn't have a car. So we walked everywhere and my brother and sister were older and bigger and they walked faster and I walked slow and I was fat and I didn't want to walk. And I would tell you about it, you know? And, but I did love that book, The Pokey Little Puppy. Y'all will know. Real ones know. Yeah. And that shit was hard because you have to be a different person. And I don't like that. Oh God, now it's getting into different shit about our work life and how like feels like we're different people to each other at work. And then we come home from work and like we're soft again. Wow. Okay. I don't like it. Okay. This is helpful. Who needs a therapist? We have Dear Jessamyn. Sorry.
That was a lot. You're good.
No, it's fine. That was a lot.
I thought that was great, baby. I just didn't want to sully it, but
there's no sully.
I don't have anything to add.
You want to get out of here?
Yeah, we were going to talk about Sex and the City again, or talk about In Just Like That, but we'll have to save it for next time or a time in the future. Okay, thanks for writing in, person. Thanks for writing in. If you want to reach us, if you have a question, if you have something that's on your heart, on your spirit, where should they send a message?
There is a submission form on our website.
You can go to dearjessamyn.com/query, Q-U-E-E-R-Y, and submit a question.
Totally.
Yeah, all right. You ready to go?
Sure.
Cool. Dear Jessamyn is produced by Tenderfire Media. For more on our show, follow us on Spotify and Instagram at Dear Jessamyn, or head over to our website, dearjessamyn.com. If you're an Apple Podcast person, you can subscribe to our show. And while you're there, write us a review. They really help us out a lot. And they give you a place to let folks know how you feel about our show. Here's our team. Kylie C. Roberts is our editor/producer. Angel Foster and Naya Williams do our social media. Janie Leppard draws our art. And Fruit Snack plays our theme song. Montez Mickles is our director of production. Anna Rooney is my chief of staff. Amber Richardson is Ash's chief of staff. Ash Danger Phoenix is my co-host and co-producer. and I am Jessamine Stanley. And we believe that no one should be in jail for weed.
Tender Fire.
Drop Page.